The COVID-19 pandemic has had a devastating impact on families worldwide. The world is in grief, simultaneously controlling grief on a micro and macro level.
Today on Real Family Talk, we will speak with an ICU nurse who has been on the front lines of this pandemic since it started. Join us.
The COVID-19 pandemic has thrown the world an unprecedented and devastating scenario, with total fatalities of more than 1.5 million people at the time of this recording. These numbers are more than just statistics. They are individual deaths of family members who will be missing at the dinner table this evening or at the next family function.
Shane Remmers has been a nurse for the past 35 years, and all but five of those as an ICU nurse. She has been on the front lines of this pandemic since the very beginning. She joins us today to share her experience with us. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you.
So
nice to be with you.
So, Shane, you wrote a pretty heartfelt Facebook post that was somewhat of a plea. Tell us what prompted you to write this post and what you wanted to convey.
Oh, yeah. I have experienced death in working in ICU before, but I was not ready, nor were any of my coworkers ready for what has happened last spring when we were just inundated with ICUs full of patients dying alone with their families, even sometimes just outside the hospital, wanting us to wave out the window so that we could show them which room their loved one was in.
What was that like? You know, it has to be, wow, what an experience to not be able to see your loved ones when they're ill and when they are seriously ill.
It was terrible. In fact, the very first patient I do remember, she still was not ventilated yet at that time. And so she was talking to me. Her family had brought her from New York because they were trying to flee New York because, you know, New York got hit the worst at first. So they loaded her up and brought her down to our hospital, and she kept saying, "Don't let me die by myself. Don't let me die by myself." And I said, "I'll be here with you." Calling her family, we would FaceTime. Thankfully, the hospital bought iPads, and we would have them in the room, and they could communicate that way. But there's nothing like being in the room, being able to hold their hands, being able to tell them you love them face-to-face. And so I was in the room with her, and I told her she wouldn't die by herself, and she didn't, but we were together. It was terrible.
Well, I mean, but you made yourself the loved one that was there, or when I say loved one, the person that was there. Mm-hmm. Where did you draw this strength from? I mean, how do you hold up like that when you're being the nurse, but now you're also being the family member?
You know, it's faith. I am so thankful I work in a faith-based hospital, and every day before we'd start our shift, we would have worship together, we'd pray together. Not all my coworkers have faith, but they wanted it. And we needed a God to help us. And I would imagine Jesus and the angels being in the room with us. But no, it took a toll. Really, my husband tells me I'm a happy person all the time. And one day I remember I came home and I said, "I'm depressed." And I would cry for no reason. And the staff would do the same thing. It took a very big toll. But having faith and knowing that Jesus and the angels were with us was very helpful.
It does make a difference when you do know God and you know that you're not alone and that you can trust him. And you can count on his presence and on his strength so that you can go on. Now, I want to ask you about, you know, this pandemic and what has happened over the months, where there were individuals who would say, ah, this is not anything real, it's all a hoax, or people are just trying to make a big deal out of nothing. This is not even as bad as the flu. What would you say to that?
Well, it was very frustrating because the only social media I'm on is Facebook, and I would see people putting on Facebook that masks aren't important, that if you ate right, things would be fine. And we were telling people that patients were dying of the COVID when it really wasn't. And it was very frustrating. And they would even be obviously their Facebook friends, they would be my friends. And I couldn't believe that they wouldn't pay attention to this when every day I was seeing more, 2 to 4 deaths a day. I mean, our unit was just, it was horrible. And so it was hurtful. And in my heart, I was angry because why don't people listen and believe?
Yeah, you know, wow. I mean, you were like literally at the heart of this, the epicenter, if you will, almost. in the hospital. How did your friends respond? How did your followers respond to your Facebook post? I mean, did they show any kind of empathy or understanding after you wrote it?
Oh my goodness, yes. I was amazed. Of course, the ones that were posting, you know, that masks and things weren't important did not comment, but I was just, it was very therapeutic for me to read the responses. I had no idea. I hardly ever post on Facebook, and I had no idea that there would be so much support and encouragement and appreciation. It was very, very wonderful.
About being a healthcare worker, how did most of your colleagues cope? I would ask, especially those who were not of faith, but how would they cope with all the deaths that they were seeing?
You know, it really brought our team even closer together. I work with a great team, but we were drawn to each other. We needed to support each other. All of us were working full throttle. It was before the surge of nurses came, and so we were way understaffed, and we were just supporting each other. We really only saw each other at the end of the shift, but we would hold each other up. I mean, I have a good coworker that had just had a baby, and she had to send her whole baby with her in-laws and live there. And because, it's new. We weren't sure how we were exposing our own families and how to live and protect everyone. And when she finally got with her baby didn't know her. I mean, talk about a heartbreak.
Yeah.
What would you say is needed from the community? How can the community be more supportive of healthcare workers?
You know, we actually did get a lot of support from the community. They bring us food and things, but now, we have COVID fatigue. And so after going through it in the spring, seen from my coworkers and I know very few healthcare workers in my area that actually got the COVID. So I know masks and distancing and washing your hands, it works. I did not get COVID and I was working with them daily. So if we do that, it really does help. Experientially, it certainly does.
After a short break, we'll hear more from Shane Remmers. Stay with us. In this time of COVID-19 pandemic, many families are experiencing losses of loved ones. The processes of grief and mourning are disrupted by social distancing, making it difficult to truly mark a death and share the pain as they did previously.
Now, we have Shane Remmers here with us, and we said earlier that she was an ICU nurse for 35 years. My understanding that it's actually 36 years, so we want to make sure that we give you that extra year. And all but five of those years, you've actually worked in the ICU, which is already intense to begin with, and then to add COVID on top of that. But before we get Shane to speak some more, I just want to highlight what she said in the previous segment, which was the whole notion of washing our hands and wearing masks as a protective measure, and how important those small things can be to protect us against this virus. So I'm happy that you brought that up, Shane. Now, we spoke a little bit in the first section about this grieving, and so this segment is particularly about grieving and the fact that you have been there for these families. Can we do? How can we help families get through these challenges? Because now we've spoken about the people who are in the hospital and you're there for them, but how are we to support the families who have to watch their loved ones die without saying goodbye to them in the way that they normally would?
You know, that is a very good question, and I don't know that we have the answer for that, because I don't know that there's any substitute for actually being with a loved one when they die. So we have to do the next best thing is, like I said, bringing the iPads in, letting them be there, let them talk. Usually the patients can't talk, but the families at least can see that people are the nurses and the doctors are trying to save the life. They get to watch it, but they don't get to be there. We make sure we call them and then the FaceTime. But right now, go ahead.
I just can't even imagine. You're having to be the nurse, and then you have to add this other component of the iPad and talking to the families. Are the families receptive to that? I guess what I'm trying to get at is, actually, I've seen this on TV, and I'm wondering, is that real? Are the families pacified somewhat by having this FaceTime with their loved one?
Some families are very appreciative. It seems to meet their needs. There's other family members that are angry that they can't come in. They don't understand. Occasionally we'll have family members that come show up anyway, and, the risk for COVID is so high, we have to help them go back out. And, they do get to, the policies in most hospitals are they do, if we know it's imminent that they're dying, most hospitals, at least that I'm aware of, will let them come to the door and look at them. But, the doors are closed. It's highly contagious. So you get to hug them and kiss them.
That sounds like a horrific way to die and a horrific way to lose a loved one. I'd like to ask you, what has been your greatest challenge during the last several months of the pandemic and working with patients who often don't leave the hospital alive and with the family members? What would you say has been your biggest challenge?
Definitely the biggest challenge is losing so many of them. I, went into nursing to save lives and to help people get healthy and well. And I think I put in my post that, we're fighting a losing battle, and it's depressing. It's not what we set out to do. None of us thought this was going to happen. I never did.
So are you hopeful? Maybe this is not the right question to ask, but are you hopeful about the vaccine? Do you see this as something that's going to bring some sense of relief to this pandemic?
I think it's our only hope, it seems to be right now. So yes, I'm excited about the vaccine. I understand the fear and anxiety over it, but So far, we're not winning this battle without something. And I think the vaccine is probably it, my personal opinion.
Of course, you realize that you recognize, and you know it as a healthcare worker, that many are not going to get that vaccine for another 3, 4, 5, 6 months, maybe even until next summer. Should we keep washing our hands and socially distancing and wearing our face coverings?
Absolutely. We've got to do it. It's got to be a habit. It's got to be a way of life. Wiping down your own home. I have Clorox wipes everywhere. And every time that someone gets out of the shower, I have the Lysol there and the family knows what they need to do. We've got to continue what we're doing the three things: social distance, wear your mask, and wash your hands.
I want to go back to your own experience and what it's been like being in that setting with something so infectious and having to go home. What has been your routine, and how has that personally affected you in your relationship with your family?
Mm-hmm. It was actually very awful. I remember clearly the first day that I got my first patient with COVID. And unfortunately, I was orienting a brand new nurse. And he just got out of nursing school. And I said, all right, I'll take this patient and you can watch. Because he was terrified. And I remember I was not comfortable either. It's uncomfortable putting all that stuff on and wondering, make sure you take it off right. So I called my family on the way home and I said, hey, I've got my COVID patient. Come downstairs and have a towel in the garage. And I'm dropping my clothes there, going to take a shower. And I wore a mask and stayed social distance. My husband and I split up our rooms. And that was it until... we had a little break in this area from COVID in our unit, and I'm an open heart nurse, so we started doing elective surgeries again, and we all got tested. Our work got tested, and so I got to be elective surgeries for a while, so then I got to work without the COVIDs for a while. I've been working without, but now, of course, the numbers are going up again. So it was not fun, and our kids, their colleges closed early, and so our son and daughter came home from their various colleges, and we're a game-playing family. We would wear masks, we distance, and I 6 feet, 6 feet. It was my thing all the time: stay back, and so no hugging, no anything. And
so that was tough for even you. Like, not only were your patients not able to hug their family members, but you couldn't even hug your own family members, your husband, your children. That's tough. You know what, Shane, we just want to thank you so much for sharing from your heart today. I just know that there are going to be so many viewers that are going to be helped by your story. And hopefully, as people listen to what you're saying, they will really take this seriously. Even as we're on the cusp of getting a vaccine, we still want to take safety measures by wearing a mask, washing our hands, and socially distancing. When we come back, we'll share with you a few more tips about processing grief in the midst of a pandemic. Stay with us. The deaths of the COVID-19 pandemic are traumatic. Even for families whose loved ones did not die of the COVID virus, it has been a big challenge. Because of the COVID-19 restrictions, many are unable to be with their loved one when they die, or unable to mourn someone's death in person with friends and family.
There are other losses as well during this pandemic where grief takes place, such as unemployment, or not having enough money to pay for food or housing, loss of support services, and other changes in lifestyle. You know, these losses can happen at the same time, which can complicate or prolong grief and delay a person's ability to adapt, to heal, and to recover. There is just so much that's happening at the same time.
So we want to share with you some actions that you can take to help you cope with feelings of grief after the loss of a loved one, or you can share with others who are going through this. The number one thing that we want to say is connect with other people virtually. It's not ideal, but it's better than not connecting.
Absolutely.
We've attended several funerals online, and you know, at first when we heard about it, it just seemed so awkward. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was actually helpful to be a part of the grieving process and to be able to support our friends and family members. In fact, one of my aunts died. She was 100 years old. And
not of COVID, but she died during COVID.
Right. Yeah. And it was kind of sad because I have a very big family and we usually will all get together. But we did coordinate a Zoom call and the entire family from all over the world actually got on the call. And so it was very comforting to share stories and to share memories of being with our loved one.
There's something else that can be done, and that is you can create memories or rituals. Perhaps develop a hard copy or, even better, a virtual memory book, a blog, or webpage to remember your loved one by and ask family members and friends to share their sentiments there. You know, you can take part in an activity such as planting a tree or preparing a favorite meal that has significance to you and to the person that you loved who died. There are just so many things that we can do, and certainly most of them these days virtually. And as Elaine has already mentioned, we've participated on many of these virtual blogs where we have been able to post a picture with the deceased and say something about our relationship with that person that will, in fact, comfort the person who's lost that loved one. So these are things that we can do to help support each other in our communities as we process grief and loss during this very difficult time.
Yeah, and don't ignore how important that participation is, because yeah. I think for many of us, we may feel that it doesn't make a difference. You know, you get these
but
links
it does.
And they ask you to write something and you think, you know what, is this really going anywhere? It does make a difference. So if you have a friend or family member who has passed away during this time, take that opportunity to connect virtually, to share these memories online as necessary. Another tip is ask for help from others. If you are going through the death of a loved one, or you're grieving some of these other losses that we mentioned, unemployment, not having enough finances for food, or loss
being concerned about not having jobs. It means
right,
no food. It
right,
means,
right.
And people who have been hard workers and have always provided for their families, all of a sudden they feel this sense of loss, like this is not.
Yeah, there's
normal.
Shame.
There's so much shame
yes. and embarrassment.
Not being able to provide for their families.
So don't be afraid to seek out grief counseling or mental health services. This is really important because when you get that help, you are able to go through an intentional grief process. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people just sit with their grief. And grieving is important, but someone who is a specialist in this can help you know how to move through the grief process, not to hurry you through, but help you to do it in a way that is going to support and calm you and help you manage the anxiety during this time.
And validate you, and that you're not crazy, that what's happening to you is very normal for someone who's experienced loss. And, you know, so the grief process is a process.
It is.
There are steps that need to be taken,
yeah.
And being with someone who knows what he or she is doing is a very important reality. That can be done through telehealth, virtually. Don't have to go to anyone's office, but you can do it right there on the screen.
That's been a benefit COVID, actually, that now insurance companies are paying for telehealth. So it makes it easier because you don't have to show up. And sometimes you could even do it by phone. It's video or phone.
Also, seek spiritual support from your church, your pastor, and your church members. They are usually more than willing to provide support, to pray with you, to spend that time with you.
All right. So we have a few more tips on how you can support a loved one. I mean, that was specifically for the person who is going through grief, although they're helpful for friends and family. But specifically, if you're trying to support a friend or loved one who's grieving, here are some tips we'd like to share with you.
You can show empathy, not just sympathy. I recently heard someone say that sending a card is sympathy, but it's nice and will be appreciated. But calling and just listening, that is empathy. Just listening and sometimes even crying with someone who needs your support.
Absolutely. We actually had a neighbor who recently lost her husband. And we did send a card. And then one day we decided we were just going to go down and sit with her. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. We didn't really speak that much.
We were socially distant, but we were in her outside deck on the outdoors, and she sat and we spoke, and she had an opportunity to speak about her husband and how long they'd been together and what he meant to her. And, you know, they had been our neighbors for many years, and we knew them.
Yeah. All right. Give practical support. Find out what the person needs. Organize meals, child care, food assistance, financial assistance if necessary. And these support services should extend beyond just the first few weeks, because this person is going to need support probably up to a year. So be prepared to be available. The Bible says, comfort one another.
Yes, indeed. The Bible reminds us with the words of Jesus found in Matthew 5:4 that says, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Well, that's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.